Support for this podcast comes from Staffing Future. Nowadays, your recruitment website needs to do more than just validate your business. Websites are your digital front door, where new clients and great talent should come knocking. So do you want your recruitment website to stand out from the crowd, generate new business leads and placement revenue? If that's a yes, then talk to Staffing Future, the recruitment website and technology experts. Get a free website and technology stack review and competitor analysis today. Just visit staffingfuture.com/rules.
What great ideas are so close within your grasp? Seeing other points of view, anticipating change, considering multiple possible turnouts, acknowledging uncertainty, searching for compromise. We're going to talk about how to get over those limiters of innovation so that you can extract better thinking from yourself and your team. So let's talk about how to win the future.
This is the Marketing Rules Podcast. Do you know the new rules of marketing? Here is your host, James Whitelock.
If you haven't heard of the inbound marketing methodology, then where have you been? But did you know it was HubSpot that popularized the term? They then went on to refine it with their flywheel approach. Joining me this week to discuss inbound marketing is HubSpot director and author Dan Tyer. Dan is a larger-than-life character with a passion for sales and marketing, so have a listen as I try to keep up. Welcome back, everybody, to the Marketing Rules podcast. And look who I've got with me today. It is Dan Tyer of HubSpot fame, director of HubSpot, author, generally kind of sales and marketing guru. And there's probably a few other kind of adjectives I could use as well that, you know, I probably could get
them. You have used them. In the prep meeting, you weren't this nice. In the prep meeting, you're like, okay, this is what we want to do. Stay on task, stay on script, which... Man. First of all, can I boom in everybody? Got a boom.
There you right? go. You can get the tagline in there. That's fine. You can get that's
Bill Collins, right? I'm like Pete Townsend, right? He does the like Bob O'Reilly kind of thing, and I'm Dan Tyer, boom, which I love to do, which I've been doing for about 10 years now. And I don't know if your podcaster listeners like big energy. Do you think they like big energy?
I don't know. Well, they've got me. I know that my energy's it's not as big as yours. I don't think I did a little thing on LinkedIn earlier saying that I generally don't get nervous when interviewing people, but I'm interviewing Dan Tyer later, and I know Dan, and he's a nice guy, but you know, he's quite a big personality. And I just said he's just toying with us humans until his mothership comes to pick him up, basically. That's, you know.
That's funny. The reason why I'm doing this podcast is, number one, I'm a James Whitelock fan, right? You and I spent 8 weeks together, and I got to know the hair. I got to know the wisdom, right? You're a very, very smart guy. You have a very interesting way of helping companies grow, right? And as a member of HubSpot, I've spent the... Do you know my background? Have I ever told you my background?
You probably, but just to remind the listeners, go on. Let's go into
all right,
your background.
How much time do we have?
I can give you 5 minutes for your background. Go on.
Wow. All right. I should take you on the road with me. All right. So I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I live in the United States, if you probably recognize it. Don't turn it off right now. We're going through a weird time in the United States, but we'll be back. Don't worry about it. I live in Arizona. Right. Which is also kind of a weird state where this is where the Grand Canyon is, where the musical museum is located. And also Sedona is in. So if you ever come to the United States, say this guy on a podcast told me to go to Arizona. What's in Arizona? I've done 5 startups in the last 42 years. Right. My first startup went to $1 billion back when $1 billion was real money. Right. And I was right out of college. I worked my way through university selling books door to door. I know I sound like your grandfather there, James, but that's what I did. And I started selling computers. I worked for a computer reseller in 1981, 1982. And then my boss came to me and he said, I'm quitting. And I'm like, why? He's like, I'm going to a startup. I'm like, what's a startup? He goes, a small company that's going to grow quickly. I'm like, all right, have a good time. He goes, no. I want to take you with me. I'm like, I got a job. He goes, I'll pay you 1,500 pounds more. I'm like, boom, I'm a startup guy. So I jumped to this company and it went from $3 million US to $1.5 billion in 9 years. Right. And I started as a salesperson. Then I went into sales management, then executive management. And I was their turnaround expert. So I worked in San Francisco and L.A. and New York and Boston. It was awesome. Then I quit. I started my own company in my dining room. That's why I know so much about agencies and helping industrial companies grow. And I grew a company to $30 million, 6 locations across North America. And I sold it to a Phoenix-based company. That's how I got to Arizona. My third startup went bankrupt, which taught me business planning and humility, right? It was very, very, it was hard at the time, right? Anxiety, right? I couldn't sleep. My wife had to calm me down all the time. But I was very instructional to understand how always have a plan. That's why I always tell all entrepreneurs, always have a plan. My fourth startup got bought out by Microsoft. Lucky me. I know. So I worked for Microsoft for a year. My vice president of sales at that business was this guy, Brian Halligan. He went to MIT, met Dharmesh. And in 2006, when they started HubSpot, they called me up, right? The founders of HubSpot called me up and said, we want you to come work for me. I'm like, I'm president of a software company. I got a job. They're like, no, no, no. We need help scaling this company. Will you join? And I'm like, okay. So I started at HubSpot. I was the first salesperson, the first sales manager, the first sales director in the international division, did sales recruiting, the leadership program, the training program. I've done like all the jobs at HubSpot. Right. And now I've got like 5 jobs at HubSpot because 4 isn't enough. And part of it is I work with people like you all the time, James. Right. And I explain how to scale your business. And I've got a little bit of background and expertise. I wrote a book in 2018 called The Inbound Organization to help people scale. And I think you'll agree it's a little bit different in 2020. Right.
Yeah. 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 So, yeah, you're right. You know, you've got an amazing background, Dan. There's no two ways about it.
And, thank you very much.
And this whole kind of thing around kind of scaling is what is really important. And one of the things that I learned from the course I did with you is the importance of growth and selling growth, you know. And on the back of that, we changed a little bit about how we work as a business. We were pretty good at what we do. And we're good marketeers. But that whole point around selling growth is the kind of was a key change for us in 2020. You know,
it's awesome. Yeah. It's because that's what everybody wants, right? In the old days, I'm talking about like 2015, when you said you were a marketing firm, people are like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Now in 2020, when you say you're a marketing firm, people are like, yeah, you and 10,000 other people in the UK, right? And I don't really care what services you provide. This may come as a surprise to you, but most of your prospects and customers, they only care about themselves and their families. They do care a little bit about you. And most people that you connect with, especially in manufacturing and industrial, right? They tend to be very good people. They're family people. They're community oriented. They love giving tours to their shop. They love talking to folks about how they can produce their product quickly and efficiently, right? But they're so busy. And it's such a weird year that they don't have a lot of time to hear about all the stuff that you'd like to do for them. And the other thing that we find is many people have been burned. Has anybody ever told you, no, we've been burned by a marketing firm before, James?
We get that all the time. So that's one of our kind of, that's one of our reasons to kind of do what we do, because we have so many people say, oh, we once had a marketing exec, or we once were working this marketing business, but it didn't really work out. Okay. Yeah. We hear that on a daily basis.
Yeah, me too. And so I'm like, it's because it's an undifferentiated business, right? You can take one course at university and you can start a marketing company. Or it's
sometimes not even that.
I know. They use Google. Okay, now I'm an expert in pay-per-click. All right. Yeah. But for you, one of the reasons why you're successful, first of all, you're smart. Second of all, you're thoughtful. Third of all, you niche. Right? The riches are in the niches. Or when I'm in the UK, if you want to go to the beaches, you've got to work the niches. Right. And like that is the process. And you don't take all clients, right? You take a very specific type of client that you actually can do a very good job at. Right. Yeah. So the reason you're doing this podcast, what's the reason you're doing this podcast?
I thought I was asking the questions. Hang on. Okay.
Here we go. I know. I told you it's going to go both ways. I know.
So why do we do the podcast? We do the podcast to kind of add value. Okay. We want to make sure that our prospective clients, they know what we do, that we know what we're talking about. And we were able to kind of talk to, you know, best in breed people like yourself and others of that kind of that.
Yeah.
And we know what we're talking about, basically. And
that's right. You're an expert.
And it's good content as well. It's good content.
It's an expert. You have a big heart. You have a big hair as well. There might be like a barber in your future. Mm-hmm. But you like helping people. That's why I'm willing to jump on your podcast. As a part of the HubSpot ecosystem, I know that. You got inbound very, very early. Mm-hmm. You were practicing inbound even before you discovered like the inbound revolution, right? And we like people like that. And in 2020, no one needs a pushy salesperson. What they need is you to help them grow. And so this growth thing means that you're going to help them with the collateral, with the emails, with the workflows, with the website, all that stuff. But you're also going to help their salespeople. And one of the things that we talked about in our briefing meeting, sales has changed quite significantly. So if you're listening to this podcast and you got 10 salespeople, I can guarantee there's going to be some fundamental changes with those salespeople, especially if they work in traditional industries. We were talking about this morning. I was doing a presentation, a global presentation, 1,500 salespeople across the world in every single country, like 170 countries, right? Mm-hmm. And I had done lots of research with the vice president of sales, the global leadership team, and they were relationship salespeople, right? They would go out, and the way they would learn about customer challenges is they'd buy people coffee and donuts. Right. And they're like, the coffee and donuts worked so well until like March. Now we can't buy them coffee. What are we going to do? And I'm like, you're going to help. And they're like, what do you mean we're going to help? Right. And I'm like, you can't buy them coffee and donuts. What you need to do is understand a little bit about where their project is, understand how you can insert yourself in that process. And this is the magic horse. How can we make this easy for you? Right. Whenever you are cycling, I've heard you say that a handful of times, James. When you say, all right, you want to grow, how can we make this easy for you? Right. It just starts the conversation. And then people start talking. In the case of what you do, now you can diagnose where they really need help. Sometimes they know. Sometimes they're like, our emails aren't getting open. Sometimes they know our workflows aren't good. Sometimes they're saying our website is horrible. And in that case, we're like, okay, well, what do you like about your website? They tell us. And we're like, what do you need to improve in your website? And we tell them. And the key to success or growth in 2020 is that sales and marketing alignment. And I know you do you talk about that a lot on your podcast.
A little bit, yeah. So it's one of the things that I was keen to get you on to talk a bit more about, because it's a conversation that I'm having more and more often, generally online and a lot with our kind of our customers. So, you know, for the majority of our customers are in staffing and recruitment. You know that. And they're traditionally not the most marketing focused people, but they're very sales focused people. And it is that time of there's an alignment maybe coming between those things. And it's come around because, well, we talk a lot about ABM, account based marketing, perfect for aligning your sales and marketing teams. I talk a little bit about RevOps, again, having your kind of, you know, aligning your sales and marketing team. And it does seem to be there's a movement behind that now to kind of have both teams, even if it's just simple as actually sitting with each other at some point, you know, when we can go, we'll go back into offices. But it's definitely that kind of movement of an alignment between those two departments.
No question. And we have the science to prove it, right? I sound like I got big energy and I'm just like riffing it. But the reality is everything I say has a scientific basis, right? And you asked me in the briefing meeting, where's the crossover between sales and marketing today? Which is a very good question. And like in the old days, there was a very specific demarcation. You had a marketing organization of two, usually women, right? And then you had 45 salespeople. Right. Marketing always had a little tiny percent of the budget, and sales always got all the budget, all the glory, all the headcount. Mm-hmm. Right. And in 1985 is a very specific delineation. Lots of differences. Right. Marketing created the brand and generated the leads. Right. And they did the sales collateral and sales support. Sales did everything else. So they took the leads, they called the leads, they qualified the leads on the phone, they did the product demonstration, they answered objection, they brought them into the closing sequence, they closed the deal, then you never saw the salesperson again, right? That's not the way it works in 2020. In the old days, sales got all the budget, it got all the headcount, got all the glory, right? The sales and marketing organization got together four times a year, they yelled at each other, the salespeople always blamed marketing, right? You were always in the doghouse, James. Right. It was like, no, wait a second. You didn't give me enough leads. It's your fault. or James, you gave me too many leads. I couldn't call them all. It's your fault, right? So it was like a built-in excuse, right? And for the first 35 years of my career, right, I was the guy in the soapbox hiring field salespeople to go out and do 90% of the work. I had an unlimited budget. And the marketing director would show up at the board of directors meeting, right? And the board of directors would say, well, we gave you 800,000 pounds last year. What did you do with it? What was the return on investment? And they would always look at their shoes, right? They'd be like, well, it's hard, it's bifurcated, and it doesn't show immediately. And like the board is thinking, okay, I'm going to cut this budget in half. And then I'd show up and they say, all right, we gave you 800,000 pounds last year. What did you do? I'm like, I hired five salespeople, generated 5 million of excess growth. And they're like, okay, give that all the money to Dan. Now it works differently. Right now, I tell CEOs, if you got more than 10 salespeople, fire the two least performing salespeople, give all the money to marketing or to an agency like yours, right? Because those two guys, they're never going to make it. They're not good representations of the company. They're fudging their calls, and marketing needs more of the help, right? I tell marketers, if you're not practicing inbound, right, quit. Go to some place that's practicing inbound. Did you know the statistic, James, that 27% of your database will atrophy every year? 27% of your contacts will become, they don't want your emails anymore. Yep. They've moved on. They're no longer in that role. They got promoted, something like that. Isn't that amazing?
It seems quite high, to be honest. I can't say for recruitment and staffing that we're in, but I definitely know that the way that you make up for that in recruitment and marketing, of recruitment marketing, is you have a bigger database.
That's right. You got the right answer, but you have to constantly be replenishing it. And guess what? Do people respond when salespeople call, or do they Google it and find the first three people? That's why the riches are in the niches. And if somebody is a recruiting firm and is looking for a growth agency that specializes in recruiting firm, boom, they're going to find you. Mm-hmm. And then if they're a manufacturing company, you're like, no, I do recruiting, right? You should go to this other guy because he does manufacturing. Go to Todd Ockenberry, something like that. I do recruiting. We're really good at recruiting, right? Sometimes you'll see that people within manufacturing really need recruiting. They're trying to find a very good fit. So sometimes that works a little bit, but you want to be very, very specific of how you can add the most value. Because in 2020, it's all about time to value, right? I don't have any time to screw around. I don't want to educate you. I want an expert to show up, understand exactly where I am. I want them to evaluate my situation. I want them to tell me, can you help me? Can you not help me? And then I want them to do it, right? And I'll give you the money, right? It's not a question of money in most cases. In most cases, if you can solve my problem, you're going to get my business. And then it becomes the relationship thing that you're very good at. By the way, if you're a salesperson and you're not getting inbound leads, quit, right? Go to somebody who's getting inbound leads, because you get inbound leads, James. And what's the difference between like cold calling somebody and getting an inbound lead?
Well, you know that they're proactively interested in your business at that point, right? And so it's a warm lead, you know.
That's
and,
right. So when you call them up, you're like, this is James. You dropped your contact information on that ebook. What were you looking for help with? Right? Not a lot of people do that, right? There is still a multi-billion dollar industry. Worldwide cold calling, $24 billion.
So that amazes me that it's such a, that cold calling is, it's still a thing.
I know.
It's still a thing.
Because do you know what the efficacy is? Do you know how often cold callers get in to have a conversation?
Oh, I mean, it can't be a lot. It must be so minute. It must be 0. Something or other, you know?
It's 1%. It's about 1%, 1.2%. That means you're wasting 99% of your time, effort, and money. Is there anything in business that if a business owner was wasting 99% of their time, effort, and budget, they'd still do it? Yeah. Right? But they do. Why is it $24 billion? Because that's the way it's always been done in recruiting. It's always been done that way in recruiting. You hire three people until the last three people, by the way, if they're experienced, they're a boatload of money. Right. They come with their own Rolodex. Yeah. That's right. And everybody's 90 years old. Right. Or 25%, 27% is atrophied. Right. The way to do it is to trick out your website, is to make sure people find you, have them drop their contact information. And then on an ongoing basis, you develop a relationship with them where you're like, no, I'll help you. And they'll be like, well, I'm not even a customer yet. You're like, no, it doesn't matter. I'm going to help you. And they're like, why are you going to do it? Why are you helping me, James Whitelock? And you're like, because that's kind of the way we do it.
And that's very much the and that's very much the flywheel, right? I mean, that's the attract, exactly. engage, delight. You know, exactly. that's that.
You've been doing that.
Everyone's a customer. You know, everyone's a
customer. You've been doing that before you heard about the flywheel. Now, the flywheel is an interesting concept. If you want to know about the flywheel, you book a private conversation with James, right? And he's going to explain. Either you're an auto guy, you like cars, then you'll know what a flywheel is, or you watch the movie Ghost. Do you know the movie Ghost, James?
I know of it. It's not on my top 10.
All right. It's Patrick Swayze, who's a little bit of a good-looking man, and he's dead in the movie. I think that's why they call it Ghost. And he's like hanging out with Demi Moore, and he's dead and she's not, and she has a potter's wheel. And it's on a flywheel, and she pushes the potter, it goes around, and he puts his arms around her, and it's a – if you're trying to get close to your significant other, download it, and it'll do the job. But a flywheel in a business context is having your customers – get more customers, right? And the flywheel is, first of all, making sure you're calling your customers, right? I tell all the people on all my podcasts, you call 2 customers a week. You pick up the phone, you go, James, this is Dan from HubSpot. Thank you for being a good customer. And has anybody ever called you and thanked you for being a good customer?
Never. No one's ever called me to do that.
I know. People are like, who are you again? And I'm like, Dan from HubSpot. They're like, why are you calling me? And I'm like, I'm calling to thank you. And they're like, thanking you? Thank me for what? I'm like, you've been paying me for the last 6 years to help you grow your business, right? We're a software vendor. And I wanted to tell you, here's my cell phone. If you ever want 602-432-745, I'm going to text it to you right now. By the way, once I do that, now I have their cell phone number as well, which might come in handy down the road. Yeah. I go, if you ever have an idea of how I can be a better partner, you call me. I want to know. I call it an executive sponsorship program or a godfather program, but it's very, very impactful. That way, if that person is looking at maybe going to another agency or working with somebody else, right, he might remember the fact that I called him personally, especially in a global pandemic. And they're like, no, that guy James with all the hair and the baseball cap and the big microphone, he called me twice a year. And you say, I'm going to call you twice a year. Right. And I'm going to thank you for your business. And if you think of anything I could do better, you just let me know. And then now you're forming that relationship that you've done for years that really helps you build your business.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is all about those kind of building of relationships now. It's not. What we tend to find as well with that is that person will then follow you around wherever they go, you end up going with them. You know,
you're my guy. Yeah, you're my guy in the UK, right? Yeah, and because you've built that relationship. And no one taught you how to do that. No. I mean, where did you learn that relationships are so important?
I'm just good like that, you know? I picked up on those things. But all jokes aside, though, it is about that kind of much more that kind of relationship marketing, right? You know, that's where this sits now, you know, is you want to kind of keep people warm, keep them constantly. And like I said before, it's treating everybody as if they were a customer. That's right.
You've always been good at that. You're like, no, we're going to help. And people, some people are like, why are you helping me? And you're like, that's just the way we do it. That is the basis of the inbound revolution. When I wrote the book in 2018, it's called, I wrote it with Todd Hockenberry, who happens to be the best co-author in the history of books, right? He is super smart. He is kind. He's thoughtful. He's a great writer. Right. And I would say things like, well, this is how we do it at HubSpot. And he would laugh at me. He's like, not everybody's HubSpot, Dan. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, not everybody wants to help before they sell. Not everybody wants to treat people like human beings. And the foundation of the inbound revolution is number one, you help before you sell. Mm-hmm. Right. HubSpot gives away all his free products. You can buy, you could try all our products for free. Right. Do your podcast listeners like free stuff?
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do.
I know.
We give them free stuff. This is a free resource for them. You know what I mean? They get to kind of like, they get inside Dan Tye's head for the next kind of for half an hour. That's right.
And you got lots of stuff. If you want free stuff, you email my friend James Whitelock and you say, all right, I want the free stuff. Right. And he'll send it to you and he won't even feel bad about it. He's like, no, just do it. Right. Yeah. Because if you do something nice for somebody, they'll remember. You start a relationship in 2020, they'll remember that forever, mm-hmm. right? You help somebody find a job. You help somebody, just give them a nice word. You just tell them, just keep going. You can do it. Everybody needs that. In 2020, it is extraordinary what we're going through as a civilization in every single country in the world. And just having that philosophy of trying to help can have a huge advantage. Then you get down into, no, the people I really help are these recruiting firms, right? And the way we help them is this. And they're like, when James walks into a room, you know, in like the first 10 minutes, he's a recruiting guy, that he's done this before. He knows all the vocabulary, he knows the seasonality. He knows how he's helped dozens of these kind of companies in the past. And you can just tell, it's like a sixth sense. And that's the way we provide value, right? Yeah. We engage, we help, we treat people like human beings. The thing is, all the technology, you go both ways. This is the path and the road that I talk about a lot. Some people use the technology just to be more inhuman, right? The last thing you need is another spam email, right? I bet you have a handful of stupid emails in your inbox that you couldn't care less. But what we say and what you do is you could teach people how to use video email, mm-hmm. right? And now James with the big microphone, it's like a little podcast. You get a little 60-second personalized podcast.
Where you and he brings, I know this is not going to work on audio, but he brings up his little whiteboard and he says,
"It's awesome.
Hi, Dan.
It's awesome." Yep. Now you're not James, the sales guy, that guy who sent me the stupid email with 600 other people. Now you're James with the hat and the mic and the thing and the smile. And like you're holding up a sign that says, "Dan, call me," right? That's hard to ignore. Right. And then you're going to call me four times over 12 days. Right. Some people think that's stalking, but it's not. The science says that if you're only calling once or twice, let me just throw some statistics out there.
Go on. You go for it.
Yeah. The average lead, only 40% of leads are called. Only 40%. 60% are dismissed, just summarily dismissed. Only 30% of leads are called twice. Right. And that's where most salespeople stop. Right. Unfortunately, most people pick up on the third or the fourth connection. Right. I always call an email. I wait 2 days. I call an email again. Right. I wait 3 days because it's over a weekend. I call a third time and an email a third time. Only 10% of salespeople do that. And only 8% people call for a fourth time. The fourth time I call you, James, I'm going to say, should I stay or should I go? James, you got four emails from me. Two of them are video emails. You know how to get a hold of me, right? If you need anything, like just save the email and ping me, right? And at the end of the year, I get all these people who are like, Dan, you remember me? And I'm like, no. And they're like, Dan, you sent me a video email. And it's Todd from St. Louis. I'm like, okay, Todd, I sent out 10 of those a day. I kind of love you, but I have no, oh, wait a second. In my HubSpot CRM, it does say, here it is. Oh, yeah, Todd, I remember you. Mm-hmm. You didn't answer my emails. They're like, no, we weren't ready back then, but now we're ready. Can you teach us how to send those video emails? And I'm like, sure. HubSpot video, it's super easy, right? And you need to start with a professional version, but it's like super impactful. That's the way you break through the clutter, right? Everybody needs a little James Whitelock in their life. A little person. Well, most people, I think.
But that's a great tip, though. That kind of, so that, again, this is one of the other things that I took away from that. And it's just a tiny one of the plethora of stuff that I took away from our original kind of the course, the boot camp that we did, is those video emails, right? And video in general. So you've got a business that's, you've got Vidyard who you can use kind of, that can hook up to your email and can hook into HubSpot if you're a HubSpot user, and you can send those directly to your contacts, and it works brilliantly. And we've found you probably get like a 90% response rate from a video email. And you can also now do something really similar on LinkedIn, and those work really well. But I'll tell you what's weird about that is the amount of video emails I don't get. I just don't get them.
I've told you this. In 2017, I started using video email. I'm like, this is the greatest, right? Because I had a pretty good response rate. And then it went up over 80%. 80%. They wouldn't all say yes, right? But they'd say they'd respond, right? And I'm like, okay, everybody's going to use this. Yeah. They didn't. In 2018, said the same thing. This is the year of video, okay? Fell flat. 2019, say the same thing. 2020, right? Same thing. It's the year, and I was 4 years late, maybe 5 years late. If you're not using video email, you might as well put duct tape over your sales team's mouth, right? Because they're not being as impactful. And you are proof. You know how to do it. You know how to teach it. You know how to train it. And your first 20 are always a little like,
you do it in one take and you get over it. You know what I mean? You know, it's
exactly. Like, now you do like 2 or 3 a day, right? Now I do 10 a day, right? Now, if I have to type out a regular text email, I'm like, ooh, I'm sending James a text email. He wants the entire experience. He wants to see the atrium behind me. He wants to see the screaming and yelling. Or if you want the college professor, Dantyre, I can deliver that.
No, don't do that. That's freaky. I don't like it.
No, but if you're a PhD, I'm not going to yell at you. If you teach at Oxford, I got to modify my behavior. And here's the thing. You ask a great question. Where does technology fit in sales and marketing? And number one, every company is a technology company. Do not tell me, and now we're not really a technology company, because that means I'm going out of business. I just don't realize it yet. Every company is a technology company. There are key technologies to make us more human. You always have to have a CRM. It's helpful to have a responsive, like a Slack, where you get instant notification for your leads, right? It's helpful to have a HubSpot where you're notified when somebody opens an email. Oh my goodness. I call up James. I'm like, James, this isn't too creepy, is it? And they're like, who is this? And I'm like, this is Dan from HubSpot. They're like, I'm reading your email right now. I'm like, no kidding.
Yeah.
They're like, no. I'm like, okay, my CRM told me that you were reading my email. That's why I called you. How else am I going to get a hold of you? Right? You work like a dog. You're always doing all these kind of things all over the place. The only time I can talk with you, and I talk to salespeople all over the world. They're like, people don't pick up. I go, actually, between 4 and 14% of people pick up the phone the first time you call it. Right. So it's a little bit more like around 10%. Mm-hmm. If you call them twice, it goes higher. If you call them 3 times, it goes higher. I go, when's the last time you called your leads 3 times? And they're like, I call leads 3 times all the time. I'm going to show me. Well, I can't show you. I mean, if you're not doing it in your CRM, if you're not keeping track of it, in 2020, the key is having the data and the fact. And the reason why you can improve somebody's growth is because you're going to benchmark for a full year, right? That's why you got to get started in Q4, because you don't want to start in February because you only have half a year, right? And in your industry, there's lots of seasonality.
Yep.
And you got to plan for when salespeople get their commission check, because that's when they're going to jump to their next job. And you got to get the salespeople on board so that they can have the kickoff, all of those kind of things, right? And so that seasonality, the most important thing in 2020 is you always study the data. That is one of the foundations for the inbound revolution. You got to make sure you have a CRM. You got to have a chat bot on your website. James can help you with that. Mm-hmm. You have to have smart content. That means if your company, your customers are seeing the same calls to action and landing pages as your prospects are, you're doing it wrong. All of that is available. James can help you with all that stuff so that you can grow better with an inbound heart.
That is all very true. Boom. There you go, Dan. And
that was quick fun.
Drop the mic.
I know. So you can't drop that mic. That's 400 pounds, right? You got the best setup of anybody I've ever coached, right?
Amazing. Dan, it has been an absolute pleasure. We're coming to the end of our time. I think everyone's going to find that fascinating. I think it's going to be inspirational. And I think a few people are probably going to go, now you guys are talking a load of rubbish, but you know what?
That's all right. This is what happened. First of all, I've been doing this for 13 years, right? In 2007, I'd explain inbound. It's a little bit different now than it was before, but people would say two things. Explain it, which I explained it, and they go, will it work? And I'm like, I don't know. We have 30 customers. I'm not sure. Now 90,000 paying customers, right? We know it works. We know this is a competitive advantage. The first time ever a small business can acquire technology for a true competitive advantage. And I can prove it, right? I got all the stats. dtyre@hubspot.com or ping James. He can always get a hold of me, right? We are on Slack all the time. We Slack back and forth, right? And I'm at your service. You can go to my website, www.dantyre.com, right? You can go to my book website, with Todd Hockenberry, www.inboundorganization.com. If you want to know more about it, just buy a copy of the book, right? You can get it on Amazon. You can get it off our website, all of that kind of stuff, right? And if you need help, right, we practice what we preach. If you need help, just find a way to get to me, right? Drop your contact information on my website or whatever. And to the extent of my bandwidth, I'll try to engage and do what I can to help you grow.
And I tell people to actually take Dan up on that. Fill his inbox, basically. Let's do that. Dan, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks very much for today. And hopefully we can speak again soon.
Boom! Go, James, go!
You've been listening to the Marketing Rules Podcast from Thinking Circles. Available on all major podcasting platforms, including Apple and Spotify. Just search the Marketing Rules Podcast or visit www.themarketingrules.com. To work with James or Thinking Circles, visit www.thinkingcircles.com.
The Marketing Rules Podcast is a Thinking Circles production.